Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Marshall, fly ball. Right field. At the wall. Goodbye.
That guy could be a Houston Astro in the near future, if you are to believe a report from Bob Nightingale, where the Houston Astros and Arizona Diamondbacks have engaged in trade talks about D-backs outfielder slash catcher Dalton Varsho. The asking price remains steep, but Arizona's open to trading some of their young outfielders. Varsho's 26. He's under team control. He's had pretty good numbers. Played in 151 games for the D-backs last year. 31 of them were as a catcher. Weird to see a catcher slash outfielder. But is this somebody that the Astros should pull the trigger on? Here's what I think. If the price is steep, hell no! What are we doing here? Are we seriously considering... I'm talking about the Astros right now. I'm talking about... I guess Jim Crane, Jeff Bagwell, Dusty Baker, Farkas, all the other guys who are involved in the Astros front office. Are we seriously thinking about trades? There's only one kind of trade that I want to see the Astros make. It's the one that they have done a lot over the years. It's the one that they did to get Justin Verlander. It's the one that they did to get Gerrit Cole. It's the one that they did to get Zach Greinke. I want them to make the trade where they do what your annoying buddy in your fantasy football league tries to do with you. The one-sided, hey, can I have Justin Jefferson for Marcus Mariota, Eno Benjamin trade that you see happen often in a fantasy football league if you played it. One-sided trades. The kind of trades that people propose on Twitter. I don't have to give up anything, and I'm going to get a great player. That's the only trade that the Astros should be making. If they're not making that, I'm out. I don't want it. Dalton Varsho, cool name. You got to trade for him? Walk away. It's over. The time to trade was last year. You had a surplus of pitchers. I mean, you had Jake Odorizzi. And you still had Justin Verlander. And then you add up all the other guys, Christian Javier, Urquidy, Framber Valdez, Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers, Hunter Brown. Before last year's trade deadline, and before Justin Verlander walked, you had a ridiculous amount of pitching depth to the point where it would have actually made sense to perhaps trade some of that surplus to get something at another position of need. But you don't have it the same way that you used to. And you need all the pitching depth that you can get when the pitching is the strength of your team. And I think that what the Rockies are going to want is one of those pitchers. Can you afford to trade any of them? I don't think so. And what else are you going to trade? Is there someone in the minors that's really exciting for a team like the Diamondbacks? Yennier Diaz? Corey Lee? No, it's not there. And that's good. Let's go a little bit further as to why the Astros should not be trading with anybody. Do you want a Bill O'Brien kind of trade to happen? And I'm not saying that that's going to happen with Jim Crane running things or with Jeff Bagwell in Crane's ear or with Dusty Baker also in Jim Crane's ear. I'm not suggesting that's going to happen. O'Brien was one of the worst traders that we've ever seen in sports history. But don't you need a general manager exactly for moments like this, like trades? I don't think that the Astros would necessarily get, I can't say that word probably, trade-pwned, you know, to go back in time to computer gamer talk, pwned, leet, etc. Like, I don't know that that's going to happen in a trade, but I don't want them making a trade. Let's stop with this. And I've seen proposals out there, possibilities out there. No, you're not going to get a guy like Varsho, I would imagine, without having to give up something real. And the only things that you have real to give up are things that you have actually seen succeed at the major league level. I don't want to give anybody up at this point in time. You got to maintain. The only additions the Astros should be making is through free agency. And that's where we get into frustration about how some of the moves that the Astros were supposedly in on, whether it was Brandon Nimmo or it was Wilson Contreras or a bunch of other names out there that you could throw to. As ABC 13 suggested, Astros fans might be disappointed to know that Carlos Correa is not coming back. Well, you could have brought Carlos Correa back to play center field, you know, $350 million over 13 years to play center. Maybe that's why Correa was at that UFC match with his buddies, Alex Bregman and Lance McCullers. But like that move would make more sense to me than trading for anybody right now. Because I just don't think you're going to get a kind of deal that you would expect to if you were to make that kind of decision. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text into on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Akalant says on Twitter, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Do not trade for anyone unless you are pulling the old Amsterdam special. Hey, look at me. I'm just a settler. See my boat that I just came on? I got nothing. I don't have anything at all. This land that you have looks really nice, Mr. Native American fella. I got some beads. Would you like these beads? You just got to give me all of this land. A principle that you might not have any cultural understanding of. So how about it? Beads for what will eventually become New York City. Huh? That's the kind of trade the Astros should be making. The kind of trades that would make our colonizing ancestors proud. But anything that involves giving something else up? Hell no. You ain't doing that. You should not doing that. You shouldn't even entertain it. And I'm assuming that this story even came out from Bob Nightingale because why? Probably because the Diamondbacks are trying to drive the price up. And look, maybe you can wait this out, and maybe you can essentially steal Dalton Varsho or one of these other Diamondback outfielders away. But that's the only kind of trade you should be making. Art of the deal. Read my book. The only deal you make is a deal where you win entirely. Like, that is what I want. I do not want back and forth. I do not want compromise. And if you are someone that thinks that they need to make an addition by trade, just realize that's what they're going to have to do. And they don't have the kind of prospects to do that, at least to my knowledge. I read Baseball Prospectus. I study these guys so much. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't do that. I'm just saying you have to give up something real to get a guy like Dalton Varsho. And I don't think it's worth it. I feel like your pitching is your strength and you need that depth because you don't know what's going to happen next year.
Do you not trust noted great businessman Jim Crane?
Well,
have you thought about that? Thought about how good of a businessman he is compared to, I don't know who owns the Arizona or Arizona Diamondbacks, but I assume they're not as good of a businessman or woman as Jim Crane.
Now, I'm going to base my thoughts on the Diamondbacks owner on whether or not they still have that pool in center field.
I'm not sure if they... Oh.
Because they have a pool in center field. Oh, yeah. They did this well before the Jacksonville Jaguars did it. If the Diamondbacks still have that pool in center field, I will think highly of their ownership.
It looks like they still have it.
They still have it. Hmm.
I mean, there's no stories of them putting it away.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, looks like they got it.
So I think you know what's up here. Yeah, Jim Crane is getting into a negotiation with somebody that understands business. Baseball, it's boring. We need to have a pool here. And it's not like a trashy Jacksonville pool. No offense to my Northern Florida brethren and the Floribama Shore, but I mean, you know what kind of people are going to go in there. They're going to go in with their shoes on, probably, while wearing a full set of jeans, not even jorts.
How many people do you think the Chase Field pool accommodates?
20.
35.
Okay, see?
Jamming them tight.
It's classy, though. See, this is a classy people pool. This is the kind of pool that's only going to allow Scottsdale broads in. Oh, did I say broad?
There it is.
Well, listen, I'm just saying, some organizations get what looks good. The Diamondbacks. You got people in Scottsdale, you got a pool? Let the people in Scottsdale go to the pool. Yeah, the Diamondbacks might stink, but you got a sideshow going on. So the Diamondbacks, smart organization. They have a pool in a stadium that is close in proximity to Scottsdale. Do you think that Jim Crane is going to be able to get the better of a man who has a pool at his stadium? I can't say.
He's a broke boy, though. He's only worth $1 billion USD. Ken Kendrick.
But he has a pool in his stadium.
Also, his name's Ken Kendrick. Kenny Kendrick.
What's his middle name? Kenneth? Ken Kenneth Kendrick?
Oh, no. His full name is Earl Gentry Kendrick Jr.
Oh, see? So he's hiding his real name. That guy sounds like a tycoon from the 1920s. With a monocle in one eye and a bunch of moustache gel to curl that bad boy up as he puts his top hat on and throws his loose change at urchins walking up to him on the street. This is not someone that I think Jim Crane should get into a back and forth with.
I will say, in every picture I've seen of him, he does not have a mustache. However, he does look like he could have a Monopoly Man style mustache.
See, he's just keeping it discreet. He comes from Monopoly money. Do you want to make a deal with somebody like that? I haven't seen There Will Be Blood, but I'm assuming Daniel Day-Lewis's character kills somebody in that to get the oil that he eventually gets and damages the relationship that he has with his son. That guy looked like a tycoon. Someone who sounds like a tycoon. Do you want to get in a deal with them anyway? Look, to get back to the serious point I have, the Astros should not be making trades, period. They shouldn't. And that's kind of what's frustrating about where they're at right now. It does seem like, for the most part, another big-time injection of talent a la Jose Abreu, it's probably only going to come by way of a trade. What teams are going to want, especially knowing that Jim Crane is at the center point of negotiations and there's Jeff Bagwell and Dusty Baker, what team isn't going to play hardball with the Astros the way that they currently are? That's the most important question here. Whoever they get into negotiations with, they see blood in the water and they're going to think to themselves, no, we can bleep with them a little bit. Entirely because of the way that they look. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 to call in and text in on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Let's play Positive Paul next. There's a bunch of Texans headlines that are something. I'm going to try to put a positive spin on all of them, like I'm the flagship. It's the Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Some comments on the Twitch. I don't think the Astros should make a trade, period. The remainder of this offseason. And Fuentes Respector, there's no reason to make trades. It just reeks of not wanting to pay a free agent. Todd the Show piggybacks off of that, saying this was a pretty bad year for free agents, to be completely honest. Jose Abreu was one of the better ones, and the Astros got him. I'm with you there. I think, though, that there are still some needs that need to be filled. And I would specifically point to outfield depth. Andrew Benintendi is still out there. I know that not all of you are enamored with Benintendi, but Gold Glove can hit. Is that not worth it? Especially when you don't have that much outfield depth and you had to tinker with it the way that you did in the postseason. Carlos Correa, center field. Not going to happen. Something I threw out last night just to be funny.
Do you think Carlos Correa saw that tweet and was like, okay, I need to stop this nonsense. I need a sign so Paul doesn't keep this up.
Well, I bet he saw it as he was signing his contract with the San Francisco Giants, which I believe was finalized about an hour later. And he probably thought, you know what? Paul and I are boys. And he's onto something here. I do have a cannon for an arm. I am rather athletic. Maybe not center fielder athletic, but I'm a big guy. I got range. Center field?
He was like, Giants, maybe throw a couple extra million on there. They're like, yeah, sure, whatever. Don't care.
I legitimately think that the Giants gave him that $350 million deal because they feel like they're getting one-upped by everybody at the high roller table. So someone bought a bottle of Dom and somebody else bought a magnum of vodka. And then he's like, well, no one's really drinking anymore and everyone's kind of wasted. But you know what? I'm going to buy a bottle too. And he gets like the most expensive tequila to pour on top of all that has been drank already, probably leading to one of these high rollers to puke a little of it back up. That's what this deal smells like. The Giants are feeling left out in the Schmenzer measuring competition between them, the Padres, and the Mets.
It's also funny because the Padres were the Giants like last week when Aaron Judge, they apparently offered more to Aaron Judge. He said no. They apparently offered more to Trey Turner, and he said no. And then they got Xander Bogaerts. Like, they kept moving down the, like, free agent list of who will take our money.
Right. They were just throwing it. They're just swiping right on Tinder. Swiping right some more. And you're out of swipes.
And then here are the Giants doing the same thing.
Pretty much. Look, if you got the money, you can spend it. These all seem like disasters waiting to happen, except I think the Mets have just unlimited money. So I don't know. I know that Steve Cohen's net worth is not like as much as you would think it would be, but he clearly seems like he is a Mets fan. Like he grew up a Mets fan, and I actually don't know his backstory, but the way he is spending is ridiculous.
Also, I feel like the Mets haven't done the like 11-year or 13-year contract. It's been, 3 years for Justin Verlander. It was like 8 years or something.
Three for Scherzer, too. Yeah.
Three for Scherzer. Like, he's not throwing like crazy. I think it was 5 years for the Japanese pitcher that they got. Like, that's what always strikes me with these baseball contracts is like giving Aaron Judge, who turns 31 a month into the season next year, giving him 10 years.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Why are we doing this?
Because Albert Pujols, that never happened.
Miguel Cabrera, never happened.
If Albert Pujols
is
had been
still on the Tigers for no reason.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, if Albert Pujols hadn't gone to L.A., he would have still been the same player. He just was playing in a loser situation. Aaron Judge in New York? No way this will be like Jacoby Ellsbury, who they signed from the Red Sox and had the exact same problem with. I don't think he played the last 3 years of that contract. It's not quite Bobby Bonilla, but it's close. Is Bobby Bonilla still getting paid by the New York Mets?
Oh, yeah. I think it's until like 2030.
Why don't you just buy him out?
I think that's why. I think that's the agreement is that he gets $1 million every year.
So he just wants it in installments like he won the lottery.
Yeah, why not? Okay. And 'cause for inflation, too. $1 million a year is worth more than it was in 1996 or whatever.
Is it? Is it worth less? What are you talking about? It's the wrong way.
I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
I assume he talked to a financial advisor because he gets paid $1 million a year.
$1 million? Can that even get you a cup of coffee in New York? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Carlos Correa needs every cent to pay for rent in San Francisco. Am I right, folks?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. You got to buy yourself the best house you can and private security so homeless people won't defecate on your doorstep. Mm-hmm. Things you got to keep in mind. Hey, some Texas headlines out there, guys. And, they're not. They're not that fun. So I thought to myself, We're going to read off a bunch of depressing things about the Houston Texans, but we're going to do it with a smile on our face.
Dude, you're a hater.
Talk your line. What the hell is wrong with you?
So, the Houston Texans expect Damian Pierce to miss time with a high ankle sprain. He will not play, likely, on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. So, that's bad. They also released Eno Benjamin the same week that they probably won't have Damian Pierce on Sunday. So, that's probably bad. But you know what, guys? You just don't see the big picture. This is a team that is going to finally give the running back we've all been waiting for a chance to prove that he belongs in the NFL still. No, I'm not talking about Dare Obungawale. I'm talking about Rex Burkhead. We will finally see if Rex Burkhead can deliver a blast from the past the way that he did against the Los Angeles Chargers last year. Does Burkhead still have it? Burkhead, winner, played for the Patriots. Still got it? Still a part of this team next year? You might say, no, hell no. I say, let's see him play his way into 2023. Okay? We're not the same. Hey, you hear about this? I saw a Chronicle headline. I think this was for a podcast from Brooks Kibica and Jonathan Alexander. It's very funny to see captions like this. Houston Texans film room. Is the Jeff Driskel quarterback package sustainable? Guys, how many times am I going to have to keep reminding you? Jerry Jones described Jeff Driskel and Davis Mills as Brett Favre. You have two Brett Favres that you can rotate in and out with their own Brett Favre traits. They're going to be fresh all game long. And let's be quite honest, the Jeff Driskel offense seems like it's at least sort of difficult to prepare for, right? You don't know what quarterback's going to be on the field at any moment in time. You're going to have to change your personnel all game long. So, I think it is sustainable, number one. And seeing that they're going to continue to do this is great. Even better, Jeff Driskel finally earned his Texans stripes.
His Letterman jacket.
Jeff Driskel finally earned the giant logo on the back of the jersey that the Texans made a really big deal about when they had their re-released uniform reveal. Oh,
that was awesome.
Oh, dude, it's so big on the back, too. In case you couldn't tell who they were from the front because they're so fast, you can see who they are from the back. Jeff Driskel finally earned a roster spot, signed to the active roster. That's great, huh? Hey, I got something else for you.
I was just going to say, do you think Andy Reid's like upset that the Texans did the Driskel cat? Because they're like, now we actually have to watch film on these
guys.
Oh,
you do? Well, I bet he's terrified. One last fun Texans fact to get through. And we can only say positive things about it, and that's the only thing that we would do. As far as the NFL team difference in yards gained and given up in Week 14, the Philadelphia Eagles lead with a differential of 1,248 yards. Well, how about the Texans? Where are they? Well, they're negative 1,274 yards. And you might think to yourself, that's really bad, especially considering the Tennessee Titans are in 31st place and they're a differential of negative 887 yards. But you just don't get it. The Texans bend, but don't break. And with those elite special teams unit, of course, they're going to be giving up a lot more yards. Huh? Cam Johnson is downing punts at the 2, at the 3. And yeah, the Texans defense might give up a 98-yard game-losing touchdown drive. But when you're constantly putting the opposition in bad field position, these things happen when you also have not a very good offense. Okay? So, I know what you're thinking, that that's a really bad differential, but it's really just proof of how good the Texans special teams unit is. And it has been described this year, Frank Ross's squad, this is actually a serious take, and it has been described by Ron Rivera, among others, as one of the best special teams units in the NFL.
I can't believe that the Titans are number two or number 31 in that.
I am surprised by that too.
And hey, that's who you're chasing in the division. So you only have to improve so much.
Want to know something else surprising? The Vikings, the only 10-3 team to have a negative point differential, I think, ever. They are fourth to last, with a negative 790 yard differential. How are they 10-3?
It seems like there's more good teams at the bottom of this than there are bad teams. So, you know what? The Texans, in good company.
Seahawks, Lions, Bears, and Giants. Seahawks, Lions, and Giants are like the good teams that are in the back half. But for the most part, outside of the Cleveland Browns, who randomly are high up on the list, for the most part, this does reflect win-loss record.
At the top, it's all the teams.
Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, 49ers, Cowboys. Yeah, Bengals. Like, the Jets are the one. Like, oh, that's kind of weird. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show. That was Positive Paul, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5 or 713-780-3776. Jeez, all of a sudden, just butchering English. 713-780-ESPN to call, text, or Twitch. The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Coming up next, did you get the sense that there was beef here? We're introducing a new segment. It's called, Where's the Beef? Was beef going on between the Houston Rockets and this guy? Based off of this audio last night, you might think so. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5
and 92.5. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Hello?
Where's the beef?
A new segment that we're going to try out here. For size, for kicks and giggles. Where's the beef? Is there actually some beef behind the audio you're about to hear? Now, if you watched the Rockets' dominant victory over the Phoenix Suns last night, you noticed that former Rocket, now Phoenix Sun, Chris Paul, was up to a lot of the same antics. Flopping, the occasional old man, slightly dirty play, yelling at referees. And I would imagine, even if I have respect for Chris Paul, which Kevin Porter Jr. talked about after the game, I would get annoyed after 48 minutes with him doing that over and over again. No matter how young I might be, no matter if I put Paul on a pedestal or not, by the end of that game, I know at the very least I'm going to be talking with my teammates and saying, did you see some of the you-know-what-word stuff that he was doing on the court? But I was surprised when asked by Jonathan Fagan about a play where Jalen Green essentially tricked Chris Paul, that Green said this.
I mean, that's the ultimate trickster of the league. You know, he be having the refs on his side. He could show us the whole game. I didn't even think of it like that. I was just making sure I made sure we put the game away.
Chris Paul, the ultimate trickster in the league. He has the referees in his back, which some would argue against, specifically Scott Foster. I think most people believe that he and Scott Foster have had some sort of occurrence off the court, a la whatever Kanye West alleged about Chris Paul and Kim Kardashian. It does feel personal on that level. But is there beef here between Jalen Green and Chris Paul? Is there beef between the entirety of the NBA and Chris Paul? I think in the latter case, yes. I don't think it's between Jalen and Chris Paul, but I do think that the majority of players around the NBA hate Chris Paul. Understandably so in some cases. He seems like he is a micromanager. I kind of get why it turned James Harden off. But the problem was Chris Paul had the Rockets playing better with James Harden than any other one of Harden's many co-pilots who he eventually had blamed for the Rockets' struggles. So I think it's an across basketball thing. I don't think it is a Jalen Green versus Chris Paul thing.
I also think it's a very like younger generation thing, because if you think about it, like Jalen Green was like in high school when Chris Paul was on the Rockets. And so he was on Twitter on seeing all the same clips and making all the same Chris Paul jokes as any other like 16-year-old was. So now he's actually playing against him. He's like, yeah, he's the ultimate trickster. I know all of his tricks. I've seen it with my own eyes.
There's a little animosity when you say that he's got all the refs in his pocket. A little bit. There has to be some.
It is like a very kind of sly like way of sending a little bit of a shot at him.
And calling him the ultimate trickster. Because that can be a compliment, but it's not. Because it is basically saying, yeah, he's only good now, or part of why he is good now, maybe not only, he's only good now. Part of why he is good now is because he does stuff like this over the course of a game. So I don't think that this is Jalen Green versus Chris Paul beef. But is there beef here? How about some good old-fashioned assistant coaching beef? Vance Joseph has never been a good defensive coordinator. He's the defensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals. Matt Patricia was a good defensive coordinator at one point, but now is the offensive coordinator or play caller with the New England Patriots, and most people in New England, myself included, thinks he sucks at his job. These two got back and forth over the last couple of days. Here is what started it all. Vance Joseph was asked what he thinks about the Patriots' offense last week.
I see an offense that's running the football well. You know, it's a very conservative pass game. You know, lots of screens, all kind of screens. It's like a defensive guy's calling offense. You know, it's how a defensive guy will call offensive plays, right? You know, let's not turn the ball over. Let's get 4 yards of play and, you know, try to burn clock. And that's what they're doing. You know, that's what he's going to do on Monday night. He's going to be patient. You know, maybe take a shot here, you know, from time to time. But for the most part, it's running game, it's quick game, and it's screens, you know, so.
It's like a defensive guy calling offensive plays, which he said right after he got a hearty round of chuckles. Deservedly so, because if you've watched the Patriots offense this season, you've probably want to gouge your eyes out. Imagine being me, a man who grew up watching Tom Brady, having high standards watching this thing. It's been tough. Basically, you're hoping for the defense to score you points, a defense that Matt Patricia is no longer in charge of. But the Patriots beat the Cardinals on Monday night, not due to their offense. Again, they sacked Colt McCoy, I want to say 6 or 7 times. They had a fumble return for a touchdown. They knocked Kyler Murray out of the game, you could argue, although it was a non-contact injury. Third play of the game. They won that because their defense came up to play. Matt Patricia, not because of him. Well, after the game, you might have noticed Matt Patricia and Vance Joseph exchange in a handshake where Vance Joseph seemed to be explaining what was going through his head. Patricia, at his press conference yesterday, said, "I've known Vance a long time. He's been in the league a long time. Vance is great, and he was coming up to make sure I knew everything was great. I think all that kind of maybe pushed into perspective a bit. So all good." Patricia says all good. Is there beef here? There is 100% beef. Here is why there is beef. Matt Patricia has a mountainous ego considering he has done nothing. And that ego is rather fragile. Take his time as head coach of the Detroit Lions, which was a bad time. I'm sure Brendan Riley, the producer of the Killer Bees, can attest to that. After the Lions lost to open up last year, blowing a 23-6 lead, Patricia was asked, while head coach of the Lions, about coaching issues that could have led to so many fourth quarter collapses. Patricia responded saying, "Yeah, I don't think so. I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL." Talking about the Malcolm Butler play, where Butler got an interception, as if He was the reason that interception happened. I called that play. Patricia definitely thinks there is still beef between him and Vance Joseph, because there are vultures circling him right now. And all of a sudden, Vance Joseph, who has literally never been good in the NFL as a coach, and I do not understand why he has gotten the opportunities that he has gotten, because he's never been as good as a defensive coordinator, and he sure as hell wasn't good as a head coach. Joseph is taking shots at him now. You bet your ass that Matt Patricia probably enjoyed every single second of that apology Joseph gave him at midfield, and may or may not have been, I don't know, a little excited downstairs here and all of that.
He was also super excited, loving every moment of throwing screen passes and running the ball like they did. And
great play
proving
caller.
Vance Joseph 100% right, but he was like, hell yeah, I'm winning.
This is beef.
Who cares that Devontae Parker is concussed? Run the play.
Oh, man, yeah, that's another part. Nelson Aguilar basically had to call officials to stop a game because Devontae Parker was clearly concussed. I have no idea how the Patriots are in the playoff running right now. That is a messy situation, to say the least. And while they do have the seventh and final playoff spot if the season were to end today, if you look at their schedule, where they're playing the Dolphins and they're playing the Bills and they're playing the Bengals to wrap up the season, where the Chargers are playing a bunch of scrubs to end the year, like, it's very obvious that New England's not going to make the playoffs and that this is going to crater. If you wanted to see the Patriots fall apart, you are going to see some fun stuff, I think, by the end of the year.
No, you're underselling the greatest coach of all time, Matt Patricia, coaching underneath one of the greatest coaches of all time, Bill Belichick.
Sure.
Malcolm Butler. You see the Malcolm Butler play. Matt Patricia.
Patricia's, I think, the reason that Butler didn't play in that Super Bowl, too. The Eagles against the Eagles.
Where they gave up 400 points? Yeah.
Yes.
But who cares? Malcolm Butler.
Legitimately, why not at a certain point put him on the field? Why not?
Because.
Fine.
It's Matt Patricia.
Thanks, Matt.
He knows.
Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN to call in or to text in. Are you all in agreement with me that the Astros should not make a trade the remainder of this offseason? Please say yes. But if you have an opposition point, you can bring it to the table as well. We got Garbage Time up next. Don't go anywhere.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Wanted to establish two things by the end of today's show. One, the only trade that the Astros should be making should be as one-sided as a colonist and Native American trade from the 1600s. Yes. It should be that bad. Otherwise, don't do it for someone like Dalton Varsho. And the other thing I want is for us to maybe be a little frustrated with the Astros general manager situation, because we're not 100% sure about who's in charge. Just realize that it is a good thing that the Astros did not get in a Schmenzer measuring competition with the Mets, the Padres, and the Giants, who of course signed Carlos Correa today. I can't believe they gave him that big of a contract. I'm happy for Correa. I really am. 13 years and $350 million. That is insane. Not quite Aaron Judge's 360 over 10, but that's an insane deal. And it is an insane deal to give to a guy who has missed all the games that Carlos Correa has missed over the course of his career, even if he has been a plus postseason performer. I think the Giants just wanted to spend money on somebody, and he spent it on one of the latter options available. So it's sort of like an auction draft in fantasy sports where there's a run at a position that you like and you bid, you lost, you bid, you lost, and now you're bidding again and you get, like, instead of, we're talking about it from a NFL quarterback perspective, instead of getting Patrick Mahomes, you got in Carlos Correa. North of Tua. Jalen Hurts is having such a good year. I don't think you can say it's Jalen Hurts.
Kirk Cousins.
Perfect. Although, Correa delivers in big moments.
Oh, yeah.
Cousins, not so much.
Justin Herbert.
I think that's a better one. Yeah. I think you love what you see from Herbert, but you're not 100% sure what you're going to get out of him in the postseason. And I do want to say this really quickly. There was a little bit of a back and forth between like the Emmanuel Acho crowd on Twitter, which is to say like the Yellers, and the Mina Kimes crowd on Twitter, which is to say the Dorks. And there's sometimes you need some Yellers and sometimes you need some Dorks over Justin Herbert. Two things can be true. Online people can be very annoying about how good Justin Herbert is, which is, I think, what Emmanuel Acho was trying to say. But at the same time, we can all realize that Herbert has incredible talent and has likely been playing injured for much of this season. I think that's where we're at with Justin Herbert. And Herbert's finally starting to look like Justin Herbert now, the last couple of weeks. I'm glad he got to do that Sunday night performance because I gained a lot of respect for Justin Herbert when he played through that rib injury on a Thursday game against Kansas City, I think in week two of this season. I gained a lot of respect for him there. But before that, I had my questions about him, and I probably was more in the Emmanuel Acho conversation of saying like, well, all these online people love him. He's the king of Twitter. Yeah, some of the online people are a little annoying with him because he'll have these great moments, but it's like flashes, and you're thinking to yourself, how does he do this consistently? So, anyway. Is Matt Stafford an appropriate comparison for Carlos Correa?
I was thinking maybe Lamar.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson finally getting hurt. The thing with Correa, I mean, there are some miles on this guy, and he's had back injuries before. Stafford wouldn't be bad either. Like, hey, you might be getting something great for a year or two or three or something like that, but Correa's had a lot of injuries that should make you go, about a $350 million contract. All right, it's that time. It's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Not all of us care about Twitter. Personally, I hate the app. But there's been a lot of conversation about it ever since Elon Musk took it over. Now, we have different kind of blue check marks. Did you know I have a blue check mark on Twitter? It's because I'm an important individual. I've been grandfathered into it. But you can also get different kind of check marks. A blue check mark could mean that you're a politician, a celebrity, or activist. Activists get blue check marks? But it also could mean now, unless you click on it, that a person has subscribed to Twitter. Why would you want a blue check mark just to prove that you're paying for an app that used to be free? There's also a gold check mark now. That belongs to a company or an organization. State-affiliated media, they also get a different kind of blue check mark. Because there's like a little subcaption underneath it.
Okay, but it is blue.
Yes, it is still blue. Essentially what you have right now are blue check marks, but varying degrees of blue check marks. On an app where everything is supposed to be brief, you now have to like click three times to figure out if this person is just bleeping around or if this person actually knows what he's talking about. And on top of that, it's not free. And on top of that, I mean, they're going to introduce what, like 4,000 character tweets? It's funny to watch this thing die. I'm happy. I'm enjoying it. I don't want to be on it anymore. I hate it. Seeing enough of these like stupid like Texans posts about optimism and positivity going forward. Like, I just want all of those people to have their accounts forcibly removed from them, have like hoods put on their head, brought to a social media re-education camp. What? Sean's laughing. That's what I want. Did you see this? You hear about this? See this? poor Indiana soccer. So Indiana soccer lost in the national championship. Talk about who they lost to in just a moment. This is how their last seven seasons have gone. They gave up a golden goal in a loss in the Sweet 16. They gave up a golden goal in the loss in the title game. They lost in the semifinal. They lost in the Sweet 16 on another golden goal. They lost in 2020 on a golden goal in the title. They lost in a golden goal. They lost via a golden goal, which is a sudden death goal, in the Sweet 16. And then this year they lost in penalty kicks 7-6.
Wow. So you're really getting into the World Cup because we don't, you know, talk a lot of soccer.
We're talking about college soccer, yeah, which is much more entertaining.
Is there any reason we're talking about this particular Indiana defeat?
Because Syracuse won the national title in soccer.
Oh my God.
Did you know that? Did you know that that's where this was going to get paid off?
Yes.
Okay.
Has
anyway,
their coach killed anyone?
On that note, this has been the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to everybody who tuned in, to the Twitchers, the Texters, the Tweeters, and of course to Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am merely Paul Gallant. We will be back at it tomorrow, 10 o'clock. Until then, so long, farewell. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.